Visiting today with Richard Fordyce at USDA. It's been quite an exciting year today. What are some of the hot button things that you're trying to get out of farmers right now?
Well, Casey, right before we started recording, we talked about 2020 and what an interesting year, I guess. I don't know if interesting is the right word, but maybe challenging year it's been. And, you know, really from a response to the coronavirus and the stand up of a first CFAP program and then a second CFAP program, the fact that we sent all of our folks home to work remotely, you know, from their homes, when this agency has always historically been a customer facing, you know, interactions, personal interactions, and basically having folks work. Now, you know, I don't know that there was a day that we didn't have, you know, FSA offices open. If folks were to make a phone call or whatnot, you know, they were going to get a hold of somebody. There may not have been someone physically in the office, but folks were always available to support agriculture at the local level. But when we think back, I guess it's the CFAP program. And I think probably front and center, is the sign up progress of the CFAP 2, our second edition of CFAP. That's going to end on December 11th. And, you know, so any producer out there, and boy, there's a lot of commodities that are out. Just about every farmer probably is growing or raising something that's eligible. And if they have not signed up for CFAP 2, encourage them to do that. Get a hold of their local county office. Tell them they're interested in signing up. They can also go to farmers.gov/CFAP, where there's a lot of frequently asked questions. There is a form that producers can download. Lots of information about commodities that are eligible are there at farmers.gov/CFAP. But I think front of mind right now is that CFAP 2 program and getting folks in that haven't come in yet.
How crazy has it been for you guys to turn on this on a dime? I mean, you've had to really turn around things super, super quick to get the producers the funds that they need. And you've had to do it in a pandemic when nobody's actually in the office.
Yeah, no, that is a really good question and a really good point. And, you know, and I think one of my memories, you know, of serving, you know, as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency years from now is going to be how we did respond and how our folks that they've always gotten in their car, they've gotten in their truck, they've driven to the office, they've got out, they go in and they get ready to serve farmers and ranchers across the counter. And then boom, at the flip of a switch, we said, you got to stay home. And the ability for them to take that in stride and to continue to deliver programs, continue to get producers signed up, get applications finished. We're a little more open now than we were under CFAP 1, but right now, with the CFAP 2 sign up, which started December 21st, which hasn't been that long ago, over 616,000 farmers have approved applications. Well over $10 billion has been paid to producers. And all of that in some form or fashion has to go through a local county office. And so I can't say enough, frankly, of the work that our people in the field have done, to just the sheer amount of work that they've accomplished, but also doing it in some situations that were less than ideal.
Absolutely. Well, under the leadership of Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, how do you feel like right now at this point all the agencies are working together as we near the end of 2020?
You know, I think very well, and I can use the stand up of the CFAP, the original CFAP program, which then actually augmented into the CFAP 2 program. You know, Secretary Perdue said our farmers and ranchers are hurting. You know, they're affected by the coronavirus. Congress has sent us some money through the CARES Act. We're going to get some money from CCC, so we can have a very strong program to offer support to farmers and ranchers. And we stood that program up in record time. And that was done. It was an all hands on deck effort. It wasn't just FSA that did that. It was our business center that's within our mission area. All the folks that work in there. It was the Office of the Chief Economist. It was the Agriculture Marketing Service. Other agencies that are not even in our mission area all came together, worked together, provided input, provided data, so that we could roll this program out as quickly as we could. And And to me, that's good government. That is efficient government. And, you know, I think that, you know, right now under this administration, you know, agencies work very well together. There's very little siloing, you know, where we can offer assistance to other agencies. We've done that as well. But when you think about all that USDA does, and so, you know, I probably left out NASS, you know, and other agencies that also helped. If you think about what is inside the USDA, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of power. This is kind of a powerhouse of really smart people doing really good things for agriculture. And when my days are finished here, I will look back on this with a smile on my face and say, you know what, we did some pretty awesome stuff while we were there.
Absolutely. Well, I know we talk about this year after year, but hemp's kind of been all over the place. Is there any new updates with the hemp industry?
You know, there was in the continuing resolution, there was an opportunity. Congress presented an opportunity for states to continue to operate under the 2014, to extend the ability for them to operate under the 2014 provisions as an experimental or pilot crop. You know, we're still trying to, I guess, understand what that means, because we know the hemp program actually got assigned to Agriculture Marketing Service. And so they're the ones that have kind of been shepherding those regulations and running that program. And we're still learning as to what does that mean for us? You know, what does that mean for us? We provide or have the ability to provide NAP coverage, you know, our non-insured agriculture production, which is our version of crop insurance. We also obviously, you know, are very involved in ag credit. You know, we do a lot of farm lending. And what does that mean for our farm loan folks? And still trying to understand what that is. You know, I know that AMS are working to get their final rule completed and published. I don't know what the progress is on that, but you're right. You know, the hemp thing is kind of in spurts and starts sometimes. And so, you know, we continue to monitor it. We want to be able to provide, you know, whatever it is that we can do to support hemp growers. So we're following it and trying to understand kind of where we are now after that, the extension of allowing folks to operate under the 2014 Farm Bill language.
What's 2021 look like for you guys? What are you excited about?
You know, I think we'll be kind of finishing up, you know, CFAP. Now the sign-up deadline is December 11th, but there'll still be applications that need to be finalized. And, you know, we kind of roll into that. We've got, you know, we're anticipating a fairly large CRP, general CRP sign-up. That starts right after the first of the year on January the 4th, runs until February the 12th. You know, there's just a lot of things going on. Our ARC PLC sign-up runs until March 15th. This is the first year, according to the 2018 Farm Bill language, that producers will have the ability, the flexibility to move different commodities into different programs. You know, the 2019 and 2020 sign-ups, your 19 election was the same for 20, but 21, 22, and 23, you know, folks are going to have some flexibility to move those around a little bit. You know, we can't predict what might be the next challenge, to agriculture and how USDA will respond to that. You know, at this time last year, we certainly wouldn't have been talking about a global pandemic and how that was affecting agriculture. So, right. I do think that USDA, they've got the people, they've got the expertise. You know, I think they've learned the flexibility, to be able to respond very quickly to things, you know, if something were to happen. So, so I guess that's how I would look at 2021. You know, if I were to look into the future.
Well, and just excited for a new year and some new opportunities, right?
Absolutely. No, you're right. And, you know, I think back to kind of January of 2020 and, you know, we were out traveling a lot, you know, going to farms and going to county offices, visiting with folks. And I think the mood was pretty good. You know, folks were, about ready to kind of take advantage of some of these improved trade deals, whether it was USMCA or that phase one China deal. And folks were pretty optimistic. And we had come out of 2019 that it was just a real challenge weather-wise. And I really think the mood was pretty good. And then we went to Commodity Classic kind of that end of February time period. And the mood was good. Folks were very positive. And then obviously we moved into the pandemic and we had to adjust and be flexible again. And so, I mean, I really think folks are looking forward to 2021 and the opportunities that present themselves for 2021. And I think, you know, just in general agriculture, you know, the agriculture community, whether that's farmers, whether that's people that support farmers, I think we're generally optimistic folks and we look for opportunities to be optimistic. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to 2021. I'd have to say that for a fact.
Me too. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Absolutely. It was great to be with you, Casey. And, you know, anytime you want to visit, just reach out to Amanda or Brenda and we can have another visit.